today I'm going to start out and I'll start reading. It says, Jesus summoned the 12 disciples and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Thomas, and Matthew the tax collector, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who was the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, do not go in the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, and raise the dead, and cleanse the leper, and cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts, or a bag for your journey, or even two coats or sandals or a staff. For the worker is worthy of his support. And whatever city or village you inquire who is worthy in it, and stay at that house until you leave that city. And as you enter the house, give it your greetings. And if the house is worthy, give it your blessings of peace. But if it is not worthy, take back your blessing of peace. Whoever does not receive you nor your words as you go out of that house or that city, shake the dust off your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day, in the day of judgment, than that city. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about what you are to say, for it will be given to you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child. And children will raise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. But whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough that the disciple, that he become like his teacher, and the slave like his master. And if they have called the head of the household Beelzebub, how much more will they malign the members of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetop. And do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? Yet not one of them falls to the ground apart from the thought from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. Do not think I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and the man's and a man's enemies will be the enemies, members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves a daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. But whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Lord, I pray that you bless to the hearer and to me your word. I pray, Father, for your blessing, that you would be about helping us to strive to love you, strive to obey you, strive to seek you. We know that you've made it all possible, and now you're asking us as a bride to look after you, look for you, and look to you, just as you have in your heart for us to do. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. One thing about the Christian life, you know, when I was courting my wife, I done my chores, I got on my motorcycle, and I ran in there, and I ran in there every night all the time I could be, and came home late at night and started my day over again, time and time again, because I was delighted to be with her. She's been a blessing in my life, all my life, that she's been in it. But we have something way more important, greater, and that is the walk of the Spirit of God with us. When we come to Jesus as our Savior, we have the privilege of having the God of the universe indwell us. And in that indwelling, we become people who have quite a change in our life. Now, I just went off my sermon, so I'll see if I can find the paper and get back on. We want to look and recognize, you know, and there first in chapter 10 and verse 1, it, you know, God is summoning him and he's given authority. It's important to remember he's summoning you and he's giving you authority. I'm not talking about just the preacher. I'm talking about the believer. I'm talking to the one who has the living God inside him. He's summoning you, and you have authority. The next verse talks about the 12, those who are appointed. You know, we have a blessing that we have. We get to see men in the process in 3 years' time in the Scripture of coming to a place that they know that Jesus was the Son of God. They watched him become our Savior, hanging on the cross. They struggled with him rising from the dead 3 days later. They had 40 days of his appearance off and on with them and teaching them before he went to heaven. And so today, when we look at the Scriptures, we know that they are appointed for our well-being. They're appointed for warning. They're appointed for direction. They're appointed for that which God wants us to find victory in. The pastor was talking about spiritual warfare today. We have the name that's above every name. When Satan knows that we are his, when I say his, I mean the Lord's. When Satan knows we are the Lord's, and he has changed our life, and he is in the process of changing our life, he is weary of taking us on. Because Jesus can send him packing. Jesus can put a hedge of protection around you. Jesus can heal you. Jesus can use you to testify to your neighbor. A church that was sent out in the Church of Acts, there was 120 of them. They weren't just the pastors or the preachers or the apostles or the people that was in Jesus' group. God multiplied that to a bigger group, and then he sent his Holy Spirit on them. And then the whole world starts to take note of what God is doing through all these odd people. They're odd because they believe in a God that's unseen. They believe that they can call on him. They believe that he is able to do whatever they ask him to do. And they're peculiar. I want to be more peculiar than anyone when it comes down to believing in God and holding on to him. So I'll go back to my scripture. We find it in the next verses. We have instructions, and they only go to those who were of Israel, were the house of Israel. And then we go on down, and those instructions says, "Preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, if you were a fisherman, and God had told you to get out of your boat, the Son of God, Jesus, and follow him, and then this, I don't know whether this was inside a year or when it was, how far along, he says, "Okay, now listen to me. I'm sending you out, and here's what you're to do. You're to preach the kingdom of God. You're to heal the sick. You're to raise the dead." Where would you be? I'd be shocked. I'd be trembling. I'd be saying, "Okay, Lord," I'd be sounding like Thomas. Okay? But this is what he sent him out to do. And then he went off to preach in other parts of the city, other part of the country. And then he also says to them in an instruction, he says, "Do not acquire money for what you do. Do not acquire silver or gold or copper for your money belt. Do not acquire provisions that you can trust on." He's asking them to come to faith. He's asking them to come, "Believe in me. I will send you out. I will send you out with what you need. I will supply it when you need it." And then he gives an instruction. He says, "Go to the people and find out who's worthy in that town and stay with them. And stay there until on." And that's strange to us. I don't think of any stranger that's ever come up and had the courage to say, "Well, God has sent me to stay with you today or tonight." I'd say, "Wow, Lord, I'm going to have to change my thinking about this. If the economy folds down and you send me a man of God, I need to say, okay, come right on in. What you have is yours." See, this kind of faith is your. Earth-shaking to us. Part of this was culture, and part of it was things I can't even explain. Then he talks about you will be brought before governors. You'll be scourged in the courts, and you'll be brought before governors and kings for testimony to them. And this is what it really, I have this underlined. God says, whenever you're brought before the tribunal, before the courts, before the governors, the kings, do not fear what you to say. Because your heavenly Father will give you what to say. You see, our conditioning, we need to be conditioning ourselves to listen to what the Word of God is. If we listen to what the Word of God says, And then we listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to us. And we put them together in a way of living. God is honored because we have taken Him as His word. We are doing an opposite of what Adam and Eve did in the garden. They only had one thing. You can eat of the tree of everything else, but don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for the day you eat it, you'll die. They had one directive. We have an opportunity in our life to prove God over and over again that we believe Him. That we believe what His Word has to say, His direction has to say. We have an opportunity to be people in the difficult times. And we're going to get to some verses we already read about difficult times. Jesus is interested in our faith. In Hebrews it says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. And he who comes to Him must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Do you know how big of a world that reward can be? How big of a heaven that be? I seek God for the heaven for people's lives. I seek God for His using me to speak, to testify that God has done in me and He can do it in them. I just was going through in my mind a little bit ago about my kids. The Lord gave my son healing on the spot and He saved my wife. The Lord gave my next child, I can't name the disease, but the doctors told us she wouldn't come out of there the same. She may even die. She may not have her physical being, her spiritual, her physical being and her mental being. God brought her out of that hospital in 3 days with a perfect bill of health because people prayed for her. And I got straightened around, and I got following God again. And my youngest son, the preacher that led me to the Lord, his wife loved the Lord, Geneva. And my wife was pregnant with David, our youngest son. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to her and saying, there's something wrong. So they went about praying. And when David was born, there was such a thin coating of skin over his spinal, back here at his back, I don't know all the names for it. But that was a miracle that God had done, because we had a pastor's wife that was listening to the Spirit of God, and she summons the people, my wife and others, to pray. And David's out walking just as if there was never ever anything happening to him. But God did it. And I can't go into you about my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. Same kind of miracles. So today, we need to look again into the Scripture and say, okay, Lord, I hear what You're saying. Help me to live this by Your faith, by Your way. I think I'm going to jump down to a place in Scripture. You know, in a place in Scripture, it talks about God cares for every hair on your head. God, you're more important. So when He talks about these next Scriptures, it says, therefore, everyone who confesses Me before men, I will also confess him before My Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies Me before men, I will deny him before heaven, My Father in heaven. God doesn't mess with us. God doesn't play with us. He tells us straight. He told Adam and Eve straight, you'll die. You eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Jesus himself is here saying, confession of me is important. If you've been saved, you need to be refining your confession to your family, to your community, to your church. Because it is your confession which rolls back the miracles of God. The miracles of God in your life, changing you from being, I'll just pick out some problem, a drunk or an addict, or you pick out any problem that mankind has. God's a redeemer. When you come to Jesus and you confess Him as Lord and Savior and you turn from your sin, He takes a hold of you and He reaches you out of that muck because you're His then. And He deals in perfection. And that might scare you a little bit. I'm not telling you it will be perfection, but He deals in perfection. He brings a perfect way in which you can walk and talk before Him, that you could teach to your children, that you could teach to your country, that you could teach to the people around you. If Jesus was King of the earth with no adversary, there would be no wars, there would be no abuse, there would be no abandonment, there would be no hunger, there would be no homelessness, there would be no problem that comes from man's sin, that originates from man's sin. So the people who are serious about being the child of God need also to be serious about the heart of God. And if the heart of God is such that He loved you so much that He sent His Son to hang on that cross, to go into the grave, to rise again,